Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dr. Nick Nyack, Chief Procurement Officer within the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Also joining us from IBM is Angela Carrington.
So, Nick, acquisition plans serve as a mechanism to review, approve, and document your acquisition decisions and create a roadmap for implementation of those decisions. What are you doing to improve the acquisition process across the department, and how does the DHS Advanced Planning Forecast System factor into this?
Yeah, that's a great question. Improving acquisition overall, let me put that one on hold for just a second, because we have a new secretary and really wonderful new leadership, and one of the things you will always try to enhance acquisition. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get out ahead of the enhancements that are coming up, but they certainly will improve the acquisition process and add to the enhancements that have been implemented since the beginning of DHS. Let me speak to the APFS system, because I know there are a lot of folks in industry who tap into it in order to kind of get a peek and see what might DHS be buying, ahead. And so just a couple of things there that I've done during my tenure. One is we have tried to improve it technically just to make it more user-friendly. So that would be the first thing. The second thing that I think is going to be very important, I think in the next 18 months, I think the data that's in there is going to be excellent. I signed a document going out to the procurement community stating that start working on a procurement when you see the requirement in APFS. Mm-hmm. And so my hope is that that's going to ensure that everybody gets their requirements into APFS, because it's only helpful to us in DHS if industry, all companies, you have to, by the way, have an APFS for small businesses, but I speak to all businesses. And incidentally, a sidebar, about 40% of our, and this is year over year, 40% of our business goes to large businesses. Depending on how you define midsize, 30% goes there, and then about 30% to small businesses. But APFS, my hope is, will be one location where all companies who are interested in doing business with DHS can really see in advance our description of the requirements that we're looking at before it hits the procurement process.
We talked earlier about competition. In what ways do you think APFS really results in greater competition?
Well, as APFS becomes more robust and accurate, and more accurate, I would say, it has to, just because more folks will see in advance what's going on, what requirements are coming down the pike in DHS, and therefore they'll have the time to plan and strategize. Because, you know, I was on the private side before I came into government, and the more the private sector knows in advance, they're also just people, and they need time to strategize and determine whether or not they have the capability, and whether or not they want to go after something when they may be going after multiple things and have to make the trade-off decisions just like everybody else does.
So, Nick, you know, when you think about the procurement cycle, the phases of procurement, the award phase, the pre-award phase seems to be the biggest or the one that gets the most attention. And yet, you don't really have a successful engagement unless you manage the whole process. So what are you doing in the area of making sure, what initiatives do you have to support the proper contract administrations happening at DHS?
That's a very good point. You're absolutely right. Been in the profession, you know, for 23 years, and everyone tends to celebrate on both sides, yeah. Contract award.
Then the hard work.
And then the hard work happens, exactly. So I will tell you, DHS is doing, and in the last couple, 2-3 years, has put some enhancements in place that I think really, really are going to have already improved the program management and post-award contract administration. What is it? We have a real governance procedure that's in place, where essentially you have the right folks who are hovering over these programs that are supported by contracts throughout their life after contract award. And it's a big partnership. You're talking about not just the contracting office, but you're talking about the program office, the contracting office, and anybody else who's supporting them. And that oversight flows all the way up to the highest levels of the department.
Nick, you mentioned program support being a quality program support being a key priority for you, for your strategic plan in the procurement office. I want to know how you're enhancing the customer service experience that your group gives to the program folks.
So I'll share two ways in which we're doing that. When I got to DHS about 3.5 years ago, we didn't have a strategic plan in procurement. And again, you know, in most organizations, you look at employee satisfaction, customer satisfaction, and business results. As we laid out our metrics, one of the things we did 2 years ago was we actually did a survey of all of the customers of our 9 procurement offices. So that became a sort of a baseline marker. Mm-hmm. And, if you use, I think it's called the Likert scale for, 1 to 5, it came in that overall, and by the way, it's documented in some of the excerpts are in our first annual progress report. Essentially, the excerpts were what customers are saying about the 9 procurement offices was, by and large, services, given how complicated the government contracting process is, we feel like the people who are providing service to us, the program management community, is pretty good. And then there were some suggestions for improvement, which we shared with the 9 contracting offices. The second way in which we're enhancing customer service is to educate everybody in the process. The more everybody knows, the more the customer knows what to expect, the more our contracting folks are super sharp so that they can give precise advice, the better off we are. So I have a Homeland Security Acquisition Institute, which provides over 300 classes a year to the entire DHS acquisition workforce. We have and OMB puts this out, so this is across government, but we have a program manager certification program, we have a contracting officer certification program, and several other certification programs. Training goes on throughout the year. Look, for all of this to really work, because another 30% of our workforce has 1 to 5 years experience, is they need lots of training. And they need just a little bit of time. I mean, if it were your kid who came into a profession, I'm sure we wouldn't expect them to be brilliant in 1 year. And when we're talking about government contracting, which really and truly is governed by the FAR, the Federal Acquisition Regulation, it's very similar to the Internal Revenue Tax Code. I mean, I don't know who knows what's in all of the tax code. And so it takes a little bit of time. But I will tell you this, and I really believe this, in 5 to 7 years, the folks that are coming in now into the contracting profession, not just in DHS but in the government, are going to be super duper and far superior to anything that we've seen in the profession, I think, moving forward.
So quality industry government communication is really key to maintaining kind of the transparent exchange between the department and the vendor community. So can you, Nick, talk about some of your outreach initiative with industry?
Yeah. This is an area that is a passion of mine. It's an area that clearly I made a priority in DHS and speak to all the time to our 1,400 contracting folks. We have specific measures in place. Let me kind of go over several things. So when I came to demonstrate my intention in this particular area, I hired 2 procurement industry liaisons. Both of them are doing a whole host of things to improve communication with industry. And then the heads of contracting themselves are doing a ton of outreach because they know it's one of our priorities. Some results to share. The number of RFIs have increased. That, generally speaking, is a trend in the right direction. Number of draft RFPs have increased. That, I'm very pleased with that. There's nothing like seeing something in advance and commenting on it. The number of industry days, generally speaking, has been on the rise. Here's an interesting area that I myself have connected with. There's about 10 to 15 associations. You know, not saying that if you connect with those, you've connected with all of industry, but have spoke to all of them numerous times. The other thing we're looking at that I'm excited about is the use of social media, because that could allow me the ability to go straight to all industry. So you can kind of look for that to come up. One final piece I'll tell you. Is just in our training program, we've opened it up to ask industry folks to come in and speak to our folks in various classes. Like, for instance, we have a mock debriefing class, and we include real industry people in that training. You know, again, I started off in the private side, then I came into government, and that's just a wonderful combination if you're going to work in this field on either side. A lot of our folks started in government and they'll remain in government. And a lot of the people in industry started in industry and they'll stay in industry. This is one way in which I can bring them together, even if they remain in their particular sides, private sector, public sector, for the rest of their careers. So, and that's really a nice safe zone for people to talk and chat and learn outside of specific procurements.
What does the future hold for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security's procurement strategy? We will ask Dr. Nick Nyack, DHS's Chief Procurement Officer, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.